Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Yes, you can contact us on the air with your question, 888-ASK-HANK. A lot of people write in their questions, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. They also use social media avenues and, of course, our website, equip.org. Well, I was shocked and rocked. I was stunned. I was jolted by a headline of something that took place this Friday. The headline in the Wall Street Journal said that France was jolted by a teacher's beheading. Think about that. A beheading in a Western country. This is not the Levant. This is France. And President Emmanuel Macron actually said that the attack bore all the hallmarks of an Islamic terrorist attack. And the teacher, Samuel Paty, 47 years old, the teacher, said Macron, had been murdered because he taught freedom of expression. He was giving his middle school class a lesson about free speech. And by the way, this lesson is a requirement by the French Ministry of Education's national curriculum. And so a Muslim kills him, and the BBC still can't get what he shouted correct. He was, of course, shouting, Allahu Akbar, which does not mean God is great. It means God is greater, as in our God is greater than your God. Some have forgotten. And others are, well, they're just blithely unaware that Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws, a structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. This graphic global reality makes Islam a religious ideology espousing terrorism as a permanent policy, not just as a temporary expedient. And that, by the way, is the historical reality from the early 7th century Medina massacres all the way to Friday's beheading of Samuel Paty. I think it's fair to underscore the fact that Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It's an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. Now, certainly, and I've said this many times, there are peaceful and tolerant Muslims, but that hardly means that Islam is a peaceful and a tolerant religion. I mean, all you have to do is think about its history. Just 3 years after Muhammad died, Damascus. This is the very city where St. Paul was heading when he experienced his dramatic conversion to Christianity. This is a city that fell to the invading Muslims. And then 2 years later, Antioch. This is where the disciples of Jesus were first called Christians. Antioch fell. And then shortly thereafter, it was the unhappy task of the Patriarch of Jerusalem to hand over the city to the conquering Umar. So from the fall of Jerusalem all the way till now, the world has known jihad. Muhammad's trail of terror is the legacy of Islam. And this is historical fact. You can get this from Muslim sources. He migrated to Medina, but he never assimilated. And after reaching critical mass, he, quote, slew the pagans. He took their houses, their lands. And then later on, he seized Mecca and, of course, made it the centerpiece of his conquests. And then he beleaguered the cities of Arabia. He took their women and their wealth as his own private property, and his every stratagem of war paved the way for what 14 centuries later would be the most prolific pseudo-religion the world has ever known, the fastest growing religion in the world. And that's the subtitle of my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Well, you know, it's been well said that those who forget history are bound to repeat history. In fact, just over 100 years ago, think about that, just over 100 years ago, the last Muslim caliphate issued a fatwa. It mandated that all Muslims massacre Christians in their midst. The fatwa invoked one Quranic passage after another. And that includes the famed Surah of the Sword. Slay the idolaters wherever you find them, seize them, besiege them, be ready to ambush them. That comes direct from the Quran. And in keeping with that mandate, the Ottoman Caliphate crucified and beheaded and tortured and mutilated. They raped and enslaved and otherwise massacred countless, quote-unquote, infidel Christians. The official number, you hardly dare say it, but the official number of Armenians killed in the genocide is 1.5 million. And hundreds of thousands of Greeks and Assyrians are also systematically slaughtered. All of this, of course, is being whitewashed in the Western world, where Sharia subservient states, and that includes Saudi Arabia, are consistently being portrayed as peace-loving allies in the fight against terrorism. Little wonder then that when the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia declared it necessary to destroy every church in the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, Western governments did not so much as blink. Bottom line, here you have a teacher who is just 47 years old, Samuel Paty, and he's talking about free speech. He's talking about Muhammad. He shows a cartoon, which is a depiction. It's not really a picture of Muhammad in any sense. It's a depiction, a cartoonish depiction. And as a result of this, no free speech, but a gruesome murder. A head in one place, the body in another, decapitated, beheaded. Of course, he was talking about Islam's quintessential man. But if you look at the most authoritative Muslim sources, you'll find that he married a six-year-old girl and consummated the marriage when she was but nine. And in arguably the greatest of his conquests, he had a Jewish man beheaded and took his wife as booty. His every stratagem of war paved the way for what 14 centuries later is what happened on Friday. And I think there's so many things to remember. And we ought to remember that in Islam, there simply is no distinction between Sharia and state. And that's particularly troubling in that Sharia has enshrined inequality for women as a core value. Sharia allows a husband to beat his spouse, but there's no such provision for a wife, and nor can a woman initiate a divorce. Only men can do so, and that with relative ease. Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians. Here again is the Quran. First, invite them to Islam, then invite them to pay the jizya, the tax on kuffars. And if they reject conversion and the jizya, then attack them. Well, I have written a book about this, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Christianity is still the largest religion, but this is the fastest growing religion. It is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. It's also available in audio form. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We're going to be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
The role of Christians in politics is hotly contested. Many non-believers insist that people of faith set aside their beliefs before getting involved in politics. However, if Christians believe that Christianity is true, then any politics that does not take Christian truths into consideration will never be complete. As we approach one of the most important elections in our nation's history, Francis Beckwith's book, Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, is a must-read for all American Christians. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the number to dial to get your question answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Jonathan in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, I heard your initial monologue about Islam, and I think it's perfectly done, and I appreciate it. Now, I don't mean to go outside your topic today, but I have one concern regarding how you look at Roman Catholics. And please correct me if I'm wrong. I'm a long-time listener, and back then when you described salvation, and the feeling is like, oh, man, it's like entering through the eye of a needle. That's how I view it. And it's rightly so done, I would say. Now, I feel like you even look at the Roman Catholic faith as a valid Christian faith. What say you?
Well, I think the Roman Catholic Church is a true church with significant error. I'm not Roman Catholic. I'm Orthodox, and obviously there was a huge break between the Western Church and the Eastern Church as a result of the Filioque, where the creed that was determined by an ecumenical council, not just but the council at Constantinople as well as the Council of Nicaea, the creed was altered. And I think that not only involved a significant problem with respect to the nature of the Godhead, but also the sin of fratricide. And I write about that in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. But yeah, I think Roman Catholicism is a true church. It has significant error. But if you look at what's happened since the split between the Roman Catholics, the schism that took place in 1054, if you look at what's happened since then, I mean, you see all kinds of winds and waves of doctrine that have run through the church. I mean, up until the time of Zwingli, all Christians believed in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, that Christ was really present. This is my body, this is my blood. Luther believed that. Well, after the Reformation, Zwingli saw the Eucharist not so much as God doing something for man, but man doing something for God. A completely different version of the Eucharist in which he considered the real presence of Christ to be nothing less than bread worship. Luther obviously resisted him, but I think that you have many, many problems that have developed in church history as a direct result of failing to follow what happened when the faith was passed from Jesus to the apostles, to the apostolic fathers, to the great early apologists, to the pre- and post-Nicene fathers, and then distributed to every Eucharistic assembly throughout the land. So I think there are a lot of problems with a lot of religious structures, and I think it would do most people a whole lot of good to educate themselves on what the church was like when the church was young. Because the church then was not innovative, but it sought to perpetuate the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Yeah, my major concern is we all know that in Roman Catholic, it's by works. Salvation is not by grace through faith, but by works. And they have the mediatrix in the person of Mary being the mother of God. Those kinds of
Well,
things.
I believe Mary was the mother of God as well. And this was something that was established in ecumenical councils in early church history. She wasn't Christotokos, she was Theotokos, the mother of God. I mean, this is what the early church taught throughout its history.
But God will have a grandfather then. Then God would be, Adam and Eve would be the ultimate grandfather of God, if that's the case.
Well, this is, you know, the problem with all of that is a complete misunderstanding of what the councils actually taught, as opposed to a caricature of what the councils taught. I mean, this is really important on a lot of levels because the councils were so important to Christian history. I mean, you think about the council that we're talking about now. You know which council it is, right?
Yes, yes.
Which council is it?
The Nicaea. Are you talking about the Nicaea one?
No, no. I'm talking about what we're talking about right now, about Mary being the Mother of God.
So
this was the third ecumenical council. I mean, this is why it's important to know something about church history. But this was the third ecumenical council. It was the Council of Ephesus, and that was in 431. And in this ecumenical council, the church affirmed, and this was against Nestorius, who was the Archbishop of Constantinople. The church affirmed against Nestorius that the Virgin Mary is and forever will be Theotokos, which means the bearer of God. And this is in opposition to the heretical notion that she was merely Christotokos, the bearer of Christ, as I was alluding to earlier, a man in whom God dwelled as if in a temple. And without equivocation, the council affirmed the apostolic truth that Jesus is true God and true man, and that therefore the Virgin Mary is truly Theotokos, the Mother of God. And there was a reason for this, because if Christ, you know, from a practical perspective, if Christ were not truly the God-man, we could not become gods by grace, God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. So I think, and my point is, I think that rather than caricature a faith, I think it's important for us to have a proper valuation of what this faith actually teaches. Roman Catholicism, it's not a crass system of works righteousness. Now, the debate between faith and works in the Western Church is very, very different than in the tradition that I follow. So in the tradition that I follow, we follow Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, which is you're saved by grace. The instrument by which you receive that grace is faith. And then as Ephesians 2, verse 10 points out, we validate that faith by our works. It's exactly what James said. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And then he goes to great pains to use examples like Rahab and Abraham to underscore that point. So I think it's important to know not only holy tradition, but also the holy scriptures. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Frank in Coral Springs, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for your show.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have a quick question that came out to mind. I appreciate your show because I learned so much. Is there any record of Cain's death in the Bible? I seem to be missing it. I read it over and over, the Bible over and over, but I have never caught. You know, most genealogies is there. So-and-so was born, so-and-so, and died, lived so many years. Is there any record of Cain?
Well, there is a record of Cain, but genealogies are mountain peaks. So they are meant to give us not a chronology of biblical history, but rather the mountain peaks. Well, we already know the story of Cain and Abel, and it is a mountain peak story. It's not included in the genealogies, but it's a mountain peak story. So what do we learn from it? We learn that Abel's offering was accepted because it was an offering that was given out of the right motives, and Cain's was not. And we learn so much from all of this. Cain's offering in Genesis highlights the reality that man looks on the outward appearance, but the eyes of the Lord pierce externalities, and they perceive the intent of the heart. There's obviously much more that could be said about this, and I can't do it because I'm literally out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apology to those that I didn't get to. Hopefully you'll call back. on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Men broadcast or some future time. Love to talk to you. And again, as I close this broadcast, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of you that make this broadcast possible. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Out of time again for today, but look forward to seeing you next time on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The alarming images of rioting, looting, and rampant destruction from Portland, Seattle, Chicago, and Minneapolis on our TV screens are recurring reminders of the truth that vices advance in the public sphere only as virtues retreat. They also remind us that human flourishing is not possible when chaos reigns, and why those who fail to vote the virtues of our faith should brace themselves for the disastrous alternatives. Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith will equip you to exercise your Christian influence by voting the virtues of your faith. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.